Shabbat Shalom and welcome to this week's Living Torah and also Chag Sameach as we enter into the fall festivals. We are right there at Yom Teruah and in just a few days Yom Kippur, and of course our favorite time is Sukkot. It's coming upon us really, really fast. I was thinking about that this morning, how much needs to be done prior to getting to Sukkot. And if I don't get a Shabbat in the middle of that or a couple of them, I'll never get everything done. Well, before we start, let me make a statement regarding this event that's happening down in Gainesville. Of course, this Shabbat is the anniversary of 9/11, and it was, 9 years ago that we saw two planes go into World Trade Centers and also in the Pentagon, a plane and the other one that crashed. And I'm not going to get into all the political ramifications and the conspiracy theories and everything that's involved in that. Everybody has their own opinions on it. In the end, the truth will probably never be known this side of the millennium regarding the whole event of 9/11. But today, or on this Shabbat, we do in America commemorate the anniversary of that that tragic day in which so many people lost their lives. On this anniversary, one pastor, he's being reported as a pastor of a small church of 50 people in Gainesville, Florida. I'm very familiar with Gainesville, grew up in that area. He has a International Burn the Quran Day, and he has said that he is going to be burning the Quran, a number of Qurans, on that day. This is one of those it's going to be something that people are going to have opinions on. You're either going to have an opinion on this side or the other side. There's not going to be a lot of gray area on this one. But here is the basis of it. Now, there's not many people that have taught against Islam more than I have. But in America, we do have the freedom of speech. So this man has the right to do that. But just like, you know, you may have the right to do a lot of things, but is it wise? Is it the right thing to do? And I do not believe it is. Because, and this has nothing to do with David Petraeus or any of the statements that are being made by the president, any of the statements being made by Sarah Palin or anybody else. But in America, you have the right to freedom of speech, but with rights come responsibilities. And this is not the way. I do not see Messiah 2,000 years ago going to the Pharisees and burning copies of their books. Instead, he showed a new and better lifestyle. Okay, so I'm not questioning this man's motivation, not questioning his heart. He's probably doing it out of the, he's frustrated. This is what's happening, is he said that his statement was, well, maybe we need to look at a different way to fight. Yeah, we do. I'll totally agree with him with that. And his frustration is causing him, this is his avenue that he is coming out with in order to have a different way to fight this war. I'll tell you, there's many different ways to fight this war, on a spiritual level and on a natural level. But I just don't believe that he has the answers to it. And in the end, it's going to cost. Whether it will cost, you know, American lives of soldiers overseas. I remember right after Abu Ghraib or whatever that place was that they were doing they had the pictures of the Muslims being somewhat humiliated by the guards. I was in Israel right after that, and we got into a pretty hairy situation there for a few minutes. And because, you know, things happen. Well, nothing happens when overseas they burn the American flag or, you know, depictions of our president or any other leaders. Nothing happens. You know, there's nothing said. But, okay, well, there's my opinion on the thing. I want to throw it out. This week's Torah portion, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 30, I actually covered last week because there was a mistake on our website. I'm going to go back into it a few minutes, and then we're going to go into the time of Yom Teruah and talk a little bit about that. Also, this week is Hosea chapter 14, verses 2 through 10, and 2 Kings chapter 19, 20, and 21. Now, as you go through, and let me get back over to Deuteronomy chapter 31, actually. Like I said, we talked a little bit about this last week. But it really kind of seems like it's graduation day, you know, to me. It's like, okay, Israel, you guys have your diploma, and you're going to be graduating from high school, and here's what's in front of you. Most of you are going to be stupid and become unemployed. A few of you are going to go out and find jobs and make something of your life. And in verse 7, he says this, next, Moshe summoned Joshua in the sight of all Israel, said to him, be strong, be bold, for you are going with this people into the land Adonai swore to the ancestors he would give them. You will be the one causing them to inherit it. But Adonai, it is he, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, it is he who will go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So don't be afraid or downhearted. Now, the change is happening right here between Moses and Joshua. Moses is pretty much saying to the people, I have taken you as far as I can take you. I must give this job over to another who is going to take you farther. Okay. And then he will tell the people, he will counsel the people within the verses here. Now, and then also over in Joshua, and we'll get to those scriptures in just a moment, he will counsel Joshua and the people to not forget where everything that Moses, that he has taught them, okay? This is not some, this is one of those that people try to, this is my favorite argument where it comes to, when it comes to the words of Paul about the tutor, and it's totally misunderstood. Because people have said, well, now that Messiah has come, we no longer need the Torah. Well, absolutely wrong in that kind of conclusion. Because the Messiah has come to take us to a new level of Torah, to take us to a place that the Torah alone could never take us. And Moses is saying to the people, I have brought you to the edge of the river. This is as far as the written Torah is able to take you. You must go to a new level of your obedience and your life of Torah in order to go on into the promised land. Same thing holds true in our lives. You know, I talk about graduation day. In a way, it is, right? And remember back, many of you, when you graduated from, maybe you graduated kindergarten or you graduated from high school or you graduated from college or whatever you graduated from, you got a diploma. You didn't go back and burn the school and kill the teachers. You may have thought about it occasionally, but you didn't do that, did you? You took what you had learned and then you allowed what you had learned to take you to a new level of life. And this is really the same thing that's going on here and the same thing that Messiah has done with the Torah today in our own lives. Remember, the Torah is not done away with. Remember the Torah of Moses, all these scriptures that we were given in Malachi and over in Matthew. Messiah has come to take us to a new level of the Torah. And the new level is kind of, there's a clue to it in verse 19 of this chapter when he says this, therefore write this song for yourselves. And he's talking about the song of Moses. We'll get to, I believe it's next week. Write this song for yourselves. Teach it to the people of Israel. Have them learn it by heart, so that this song can be a witness for me against the people of Israel. Now, notice the words. Write this song. A couple of years ago, I challenged many people to do this. We did. It doesn't take but a few minutes, okay? So, sometime in the next week, between this Torah portion and next Torah portion, go over here to chapter 32. It's, how many verses is it? 43 verses is the Song of Moses. Write it out. Have this as a part of, if you have homeschoolers, okay, have this a part in the next week to write the Song of Moses. And it goes on to say, Moses will tell them, write out this song for yourselves and teach it to the people of Israel. Okay, so it's the leaders that are to write it. They are to teach it to the people of Israel. Have them learn it by heart. Notice the word here, okay? Notice this word in verse 19. It does not say, learn it by mind. It does not say, memorize this. It says, put this song in your heart. Now, a couple of years ago, I think it was last year, when we were going through the Torah and the complete Brit Hadashah, the Renewed Covenant, at the same time, we talked about the parallels here with the Song of Moses, because we were over in Revelation at the same time that we were in Deuteronomy. It is the Song of Moses that is sung in the book of Revelation. What is it about this song? What is it about the words that are within the Song of Moses that is going to be so important in the time of Revelation? Now, I've heard some people that have speculated, Tigger's back, by the way, has speculated on these words, but I really don't think anybody has come to the conclusion yet. In fact, I believe that there's some wording here that is not going to be revealed to us until we get back over here in the back of the book. And for those who have spent time with this know these verses, have these verses in their heart, there's going to be some wisdom that comes out in the last days, for the last days, the very end of the last days. There's going to be something here that's going to be revealed. It is not that he is telling us to memorize these verses in our head, but we are to make these verses a part of us. How you will do that, how anybody will do that, is I guess up to you. Now, there's a theme that is going through these verses this week, and the theme starts out in verse 6, and it says, be strong, be bold, don't be afraid or frightened of those that are ahead of you, the enemies. For Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim, is going with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. In verse 7, Moshe says, we just read this, summon Joshua in the sight of all Israel. Be strong, be bold, for you're going with this people into the land Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh swore to your ancestors he would give them. Verse 23, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh also commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, with these words, be strong and full of courage, for you're going to bring the people of Israel into the land which about which I swore to them, I will be with you. So we see that he is admonishing the people to be strong and of good courage. Moses looks at Joshua, says, be strong and of good courage. The Almighty himself looks at Joshua and says, be strong and of courage. We go over to Joshua then, and we pick it up in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong, be bold, for you will cause his people to inherit the land I swore their fathers I would give them. Now, I was on my way back from, I went down to Dallas yesterday to pick up some things for Sukkot. And I was heading back, and I noticed this church. It's not hard to find a church in the backwoods of Oklahoma or Texas. I think I was actually in Oklahoma. And I looked over, and there's this sign in front of this church. It has three crosses on it. And under the sign, it said, keep your focus. And it said, it had these verses in Joshua. And I looked at him, and I grabbed my iPod, my iPhone, just to make sure that it was exactly the verses I'm thinking about. And it was. And here's the verses that this is on the front on this, the billboard out front of a Baptist church. Only be strong and very bold in taking care to follow all the Torah which Moses, my servant, ordered you to follow. Do not turn from it either to the right or to the left. Then you will succeed wherever you go. Yes, keep this book of the Torah on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will take care to act according to everything written in it. Then your undertaking will prosper. You will succeed. Haven't I ordered you? Be strong, be bold. So don't be afraid or downhearted, because Adonai, your Elohim, is with you wherever you go. Now, what's the chances that that Baptist church is actually teaching Torah? let's see, probably somewhere around 0 to 1%, I would imagine. Not a judgment, just I've seen it happen before. They put a verse out on the sign, having really no clue what the verse is talking about. Haven't we all been in the same place? The answer, yes. So I looked at those verses, and it was like the Almighty stuck a billboard right in front of my face. And I looked at these verses, because these verses have come up over and over and over again through the years with me, is, and I believe this is the message he's teaching to each of us, be strong, be bold, for that which you are about to go into is far greater than where you have been before. You're going to need to rely on Him. Now, the children of Israel, the Israelites here, the Hebrews, are being taught at the moment to change their focus of leadership from Moses to Joshua. Okay? Now, where's the Messianic movement been, the Hebrew roots movement been, for the last years? I dare say that there has been, and maybe has been needed, in fact, I would even go so far as to say, yes, it has been needed, that there has been, over the last, 7 or 8, 10 years specifically, there has been an emphasis on the Torah, and only the Torah in many instances, okay? I've been to congregations, home groups, conferences, in which only the Torah is spoken of. And that hasn't been a bad thing, because many of us came from systems in which only the Renewed Covenant, the New Testament, had been taught. We needed to get a crash course, a full immersion into the Torah. I am going to go out on a limb. That's where the fruit is out on the edge of the limb. The only thing is people try to knock you off the limb when you get there, but it's another point. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we are at a place in history right now that we need to, yes, we need to do exactly what we're seeing the Hebrews live out, that in this coming year, in this coming after Sukkot, okay, from the next Torah cycle for many people, okay, let me phrase it like that, from Sukkot of 2010 on into the next year, Sukkot of 2011, we need to adhere to, we need to live by what is being portrayed to us here in these verses. That we need to take what we have been taught in the words of the written Torah, we need to take them to heart, and we need to allow another besides Moses, only Moses, to take us to the new level. We need to come back as a movement, as in the Hebraic roots movement, in the Messianic movement, whatever you want to call it. There needs to be a transformation that happens, and I would love to see this transformation begin to happen at this festival time, these feast days, that we transition to from the place of looking only at the Torah to where we bring Messiah back into the thing at a level that He never was in our lives before. The same transition, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say here, kind of a difficult thing to communicate. But the problem is many people have relied too much on the written Torah of Moses only. It's time to take it to the next level in Yeshua. Get back to the person of who Yeshua is, and then be bold, be strong in the power of His might, and allow Him, with the Torah, to take us to the next level that we are supposed to go. This is the words that were spoken to Joshua. Do not turn from the Torah to the right or to the left. Then you will succeed wherever you go. Keep this book of the Torah on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Not just on Shabbat. There is a... it goes back to, you know, there was many people that went to church on Sunday at 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and that's the only thing that they ever had to do with church. It's meaningless to them. There's also people within the Messianic Hebrew roots movement that, you know, you sit down on Shabbat morning and you go through the Torah, and then the rest of the week it doesn't matter to you. You know, that's wrong. The Torah is to be on our lips. It's to be right on the edge of everything we do. We are to meditate on the precepts and principles that the Torah is teaching us day and night. When we rise in the morning, we are to begin to plan our day based upon the principles of the Torah. You sit down to eat breakfast. You eat breakfast based upon the principles of the Torah. You go about your life. You go about your work week. You go into your job. You go there based upon the principles of the Torah to give an honest day's work for the day's wage. You go through your day. You come home in the evening. Your family life is based upon the principles of the Torah. You sit down to watch the television for a little relaxation time at night. You do so based upon the principles of the Torah. You meditate on it. You go to bed with thinking about the principles of the Torah. There is a consciousness at all times of our life, 24/7, there's a consciousness of what these words and the person of these words mean in our lives. Now, we've got what? How many Torah portions do we have? We have three. We have the Song of Moses. We have Parashah 54. That's it. There's two. Wow. Yeah, there's 54. This is it. There's two more Torah portions. And as most of you know, when you come to the end of those two, and I think I've got like 3 or 4 weeks left because there's some other teachings in there, but we come to the end of that. I'm going to come to the end of the Torah videos for probably for the next year. And that's just the plan. I mean, folks, things can change at any moment. I want to say a bit about that and then go into a little bit of teaching on Yom Teruah. Some of you are the craziest people I've ever met. You know, there was, when I announced that I was going to be doing this Shabbatical in the next year, some people said, well, how are you going to be supported? And I said, you know, you don't know the people that are out there. If I had to choose an audience, if I could go out and handpick an audience, you guys would be it. I've actually had people that I was on the phone with someone the other day, and they said, you know, the moment that you said that you're going to take this year off the video, the Father spoke to us and said, increase your giving. I've had that happen over and over again. People, because they know there's some that will kind of go off to the, you know, and that's fine. Okay. That's fine. Just keep giving somewhere. Okay. Don't just take that and use that money for yourself. But I've had people that have actually increased their giving, which kind of means that you're telling me that you'll pay extra for me to be quiet? Guess I'll have to think about that for a few minutes. Just kidding. So, but in the next year, I'm going to take this year off. And I guess that's why these words of Moses to Joshua to the people of Israel are meaning so much to me this week. I'm not trying to set myself up as Moses or set myself up as Joshua. But you know, there was a place that the people, the Hebrews, had to take the responsibility for themselves as they crossed over into the promised land. And that's why I believe that some of you, and I'm not going to tell you not to listen to anybody. Please don't say that I'm doing that. But I want you to go and prayerfully consider what you are to do in the next year. Who you're to listen to, or if you are to listen to anyone in the next year. Or are you to immerse yourself in the Word with people around you, with counsel? Okay, don't get isolated out there, but allow the Spirit, allow the living Torah to take you through it at a level that I nor any of the others out there can just not do. There comes a point that people need to rely on Him. Be strong, be of good courage, for it is He. See, this is one of the things you need to consider, that it is His power, His might, that's going to lead you through in the coming days. It's not mine. It's not anybody else's. It's going to be His power that's going to lead you through. And it's going to be because you have taken His word and you have internalized it. You've made it yours. He's going to take that word and He's going to strengthen your inner being through the Torah coming alive, the written and living Torah coming alive in you to take you to that next level. You know, that's kind of the message of Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah has been, the day has been changed to Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, and I'm not going to go into all the things. There is some basis for this, as the has been taught that on Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, that this is the day that the earth was created. Don't know, I'm not that old, wasn't there. I asked some of the older teachers. But, you know, yeah, it could have been. In fact, I probably would have to, if I was pushed into a corner, I'd say, yeah, I agree with that teaching. That this is when it is the creation was this is when in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth. It was on the day of Yom Teruah. Now, Yom Teruah is the day of the sounding. Okay, there's not a lot. I mean, you go back to Passover, and it's okay, you're to eat this and this and this, and remember this, and you know, you go to these different places. Yom Teruah is just kind of sitting out there. And there's not really a lot said about Yom Teruah as far as what we are to do. Yom Teruah is, talk about Yom Teruah, and the phone rings. And I that can't go over there and grab it either, so it's just going to have to ring. There, Kathy got it. Yom Teruah is a day of awakening, okay? Here's the way that I look at Yom Teruah is, it's a day in which the alarm clock goes off. Okay, all of us have alarm clocks, right? You're laying there, you're totally asleep, you're tired from the night before, and all of a sudden, you know, the world kind of explodes with this alarm clock going off. Now, when that alarm clock goes off in the morning, you have a choice to do one of two things. You can either you can do one of three things, actually. You can either respond to it and get up, you know, wake up, get up, and get going with what you've got to do. Or you can hit the snooze button. Or you can ignore it. Now, the same thing happens with Yom Teruah when we come to this every year. You can either respond to the message of Yom Teruah, or you can hit the snooze button, or you can totally ignore the thing. Okay? Most people are totally ignoring it. Many are hitting the snooze button. Well, you know, I mean, the world's going on again, and yeah, things kind of look like they're settled down right now, and okay, snooze for another year. You've been hitting the snooze button year after year after year. It is time to quit hitting the snooze button and to awaken to the message of Yom Teruah. And the message of Yom Teruah is that we are entering into a new day. Now, there will be an ultimate Yom Teruah, in which we read about in Thessalonians, we read about in Corinthians, in which the dead in Messiah will rise. We who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air, so we will ever be with him. Where is he going to be? He's going to be in Jerusalem, okay? And so there is an ultimate day of the sounding, the day of the shofar, that we will go to be with him. We will have Yom Kippur right after that, and then you will have Sukkot right after that. But for now, there is a significance to it prior to that time, that I believe on a Yom Teruah that things are going to kind of change. Maybe it's going to be this one, maybe it'll be the next one, we don't know. But the point is that if you ignore Yom Teruah, or you hit the snooze button again, you know what happens when you hit the snooze button? You go back to sleep. Okay? We need to look at the clock, see where we're at, and use this Yom Teruah to awaken to the life that we need to be living. Okay? Now, with that, when is Yom Teruah? Well, according to the rabbinic calendar, it's actually Wednesday night because of the conjunction of the moon. Now, I've been teaching about the new moon since 1998. Absolutely, by most people would call it an accident, that it just kind of came. And I've got the new moon CD. I'm not going to go into all that. But when I started teaching about the new moon, or when I started to observe the new moon, I didn't even know enough to teach about it. This was, 12 or so years ago. I didn't know enough to teach about it. All I knew was to go do it, okay? Which through doing comes understanding, which is a principle of Deuteronomy. And so we just went and started doing it. Well, I was pretty simple, still am, pretty simple at the time. And, I didn't know much about the moon. I'd seen it and I knew the differences, but I just, when I looked at the teaching about the new moon, I just kind of figured, well, when you see it, it would be the new moon. I didn't even know back then that there was a rabbinic calendar. I didn't know that there was all these different things. It was so easy back then to just see the new moon and say, wow, this is the time we need to observe. Well, now, I know about the rabbinic calendar, and now we have the conjunction, and we have all these different teachings. Well, I figure this has worked for me for a long time. Okay, so I go by the sighting of the new moon. If you go by something different, or you're in a congregation that goes by something different, I'm not asking you to change. I'm not saying that you're wrong and I'm right, or that, vice versa. All I'm doing is saying this is the way that we do it here. Now, with the advent of the internet came the Karaite movement. And the explosion of that with Nehemiah Gordon and a number of other people that got involved there. And they started putting out, after I started putting a new moon update out, they started doing it from Israel. So what did we do? We went ahead and said, okay, we will not observe the new moon until it's seen in Israel. Because, and this is going to be some of you that don't quite understand geography and the way that the earth spins and stuff, is going to be difficult. That, see, according to what they're putting out, the new moon will be seen in Israel on Friday night. It is possible that on Thursday night, actually tonight as I'm recording, on Thursday night we may be able to see the new moon in North America, or in Asia, or various places. In fact, it's probable we can see it. So we could actually say this is the new moon. This is the time of the new month. But with the advent of the internet and everything that's going on, one of the ways that I use to kind of focus myself to everything does revolve around Israel is, even though I may see a slight sliver here, if it's not seen in Israel, if it's not seen in Jerusalem, then we don't observe it until it's seen there. Now, that may in the future, internet not being there and all that stuff, we may have to go away from that. But for now, we observe based upon when the new moon is seen in Israel. The first sliver of the moon is seen in Israel, which will make our observance of Yom Teruah this Friday night into Shabbat, and that will set the days for Yom Kippur and for Sukkot for us. If you do something different, we bless you. And I'm not asking you, don't go to some other Sukkot and say, you know, you guys are all doing it wrong. No, don't do that. Wherever you're going, you observe these festivals based upon what the leadership of that congregation or what the leadership of that gathering is doing. If you can't agree with that, then you need to go somewhere else, not ask everyone else to change. But in the process of this, do not get so wrapped up in the exact moment and who is right, because I can tell you, nobody can prove in the end that they're totally right. I mean, I know that. There's information out there. You can prove everything, okay? And the Father has put that in there so that we would have to kind of work through some of these things and love each other in spite of ourselves. Don't get so hung up that you forget why you're observing the time, okay? It is important for you to be convinced in your own mind, in your own heart, of why you're observing and when you're observing. But in the end, don't allow these places of somewhat confusion, and I get in trouble just for talking about this, to take you away from the purpose of why you're observing. There's one basic commandment. I guess there's a couple. It's a holy convocation. We'll be actually doing we'll have a meeting Friday night. But there's one basic commandment when it comes to the time of Yom Teruah, and that is to hear the sounding of the shofar. It doesn't say you have to play a shofar. It doesn't say you have to sound a shofar yourself. It says to hear the sounding of the shofar. Okay? And that word would be shema, the sounding of the shofar. Not just hear with the ear, but hear with our heart, hear with our being, the sounding of the shofar and what the shofar is doing, is bringing us to in our lives. And you go back to the teaching of the shofar. What is the shofar? Go back to Moses in Mount Sinai. It was the voice of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Go over to Thessalonians and to Corinthians, scriptures I just mentioned. The shofar is to call people to a higher place. When we go to the book of Revelation, we see this, we read the verses that Yochanan on the Isle of Patmos, he heard the sounding of the shofar. And it says, many translations say, and it was the Lord's day. That doesn't mean it was Sunday, all right? That means it was the time of judgment, the final years of judgment. It was his day for judging the earth. Mistranslation that's talking about Sunday, all right? Anytime in Scripture defines Scripture, and we see the day of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is not Sunday, it's not even Saturday, it is the last days, the days of judgment, the days of Jacob's trouble, the time of the great tribulation. And so every time we see in the scriptures that the shofar was sounded, it brought men to a higher place. This year, when you hear the sounding of the shofar, and if you if you don't have a shofar, all you have to do is you know, cue this video back up, and you hear the sounding of the shofar by Yaakov Rice. Or you can go to his website, shofarsrus.com, and it opens up with the sounding of the shofar. There's many places on the internet. Put sounding of the shofar, you can get hundreds of them that you can download to your computer. It's technology. It's not the same as a shofar being played there in front of you, but it's better than nothing, right? And so remember that when you hear that shofar, it's to call you to a higher place. It's His voice inside of you that's calling you. The shofar is His alarm clock to wake up to the days that you are entering. The day is upon us. Wake up and live it. And that's, I guess, my main prayer, that over these years that I've been sitting here looking at a camera, that that you have heard something that's awakening you to this day, that through the preparation DVDs and teaching, you've heard something, you've done something with it to take you to that next place. Folks, I'm not prophesying anything here. Don't get me wrong. Don't throw me into that one. Don't throw me under that bus. I'm not prophesying anything, but I just feel, I just see some things going on around us that I know I've said this about other festival seasons, so I'm saying the same thing again, but with a bit different urgency, is I think this festival season, I can be proven wrong, I'm sure, and I know when I'm saying this, there's a price you pay anytime you say something like this, but I believe it. This festival season, there's a difference. There's a difference. I don't know what it is. I'm not prophesying anything. I just feel there's a difference. And the words that we're going over in this week's Torah portion, the words that are being spoken to Joshua, be strong, be bold, be of good courage. Do not allow this Torah to depart from you. Do not allow the teaching of the Torah to be stripped away from you, but instead, meditate on it day and night. Make it a part of your life, because in the words of the Torah, there is life. There is life, and we need to make that choice of choosing life. Well, with that, come to the end of that Torah portion. A couple more in front of us. And so we'll be looking forward to those. Also looking forward to the time of the festivals. It's here. It's upon us. Be strong. Be of good courage. And God willing, see you next week.
Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai Sem lecha shalom.